Dreamliner pilot training is taking longer than expected. The conviction of David Riggs has been upheld on appeal. And a Korean air pilot is charged with disseminating propaganda. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, November 8, 2011. Much to the chagrin of both Boeing and its first 787 customer, All Nippon Airways, pilots are reportedly taking more time to train to fly the Dreamliner than was expected. Airbus is not missing the opportunity to exploit that. Airbus touts as a major feature the commonalities among its various planes, shortening the transition training time for pilots moving between models to as little as 2 or 3 days of costly downtime. Boeing had predicted on the order of 5 days for its new plane, but the Wall Street Journal reports ANA is finding that its pilots are needing as much as 5 weeks to be ready to fly the 787. Hundreds of the planes are on order from other carriers. Without specifically mentioning the Dreamliner, Airbus sales personnel are reportedly emphasizing those shorter transition times as a competitive advantage for their product line. ANA is reportedly known for its very conservative approach to training. Other airlines may come closer to Boeing's estimate. United Continental Holdings is reportedly planning 11 days. Training isn't the only challenge facing ANA and its new 787s. Reuters reports the airline and Boeing are looking into what's being called the first technical glitch reported since the new airliner entered service just 2 weeks ago. On approach to Tokyo's Haneda Airport Sunday, the crew got an indication the landing gear had not properly engaged. The landing was aborted, and the pilot manually lowered the gear successfully during the go-around. The plane landed safely. According to USA Today, the BBC reports a hydraulic valve fault was to blame. Boeing's Lori Gunter told the Associated Press, quote, "We are aware of this matter and are on-site in Japan with ANA, offering whatever assistance they require. Maintenance was conducted and the airplane has returned to service," unquote. The conviction of David Riggs, who infamously buzzed the Santa Monica Pier in an L-39 Albatross on November 6, 2008, has been upheld by a Los Angeles appellate court. Riggs will serve 60 days in jail and perform 60 hours of community service cleaning up the beach he buzzed and pay a fine. Riggs was convicted of recklessly operating an aircraft in a manner that endangered life and property for flying at times within 50 feet above the ground over the pier in the Soviet-era jet. The stunt was to promote the movie Kerosene Cowboys, which was never released. He was originally convicted in 2010. His attorney had appealed the jail time portion of the conviction based on the assertion that the stunt was carefully choreographed and performed by a professional pilot. He also maintained that Riggs did not fly too low or too close to the people on the pier or the beach. The FAA almost immediately revoked Riggs' pilot certificate following the stunt. On March 17, 2009, an administrative law judge modified that revocation to a 200-day suspension, and the certificate has since been reinstated. Riggs has more recently been associated with the Ultimate Air Racing Championship, a head-to-head pylon race that the FAA refused to allow in the U.S., primarily for safety reasons. The Los Angeles Times is quoting a spokesman for Korean Air, which was founded in 1962 by the government of South Korea, as saying the airline is embarrassed and shocked at the news that one of its pilots started a pro-North Korean propaganda website in 2006. USA Today reports the pilot, whose surname is Kim but whose full name was not released, has posted more than 60 articles over the past 5 years, critical of his own government and promoting North Korean propaganda. Such activity is illegal in South Korea, where police raided the 45-year-old's home in October and seized his computer and books. Kim is also out of a job, at least for now. Fearing he might defect to the North, South Korean officials have banned him from leaving the country and asked the airline to stop assigning him flights. Up next on ANN, Gamma releases third-quarter GA sales figures. ExecuJet says rugby brought it its best month ever. And Kent Couch will try again, this time with a two-place lawn chair. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, November 8th. I'm Paul Platt. The General Aviation Manufacturers Association is out with its quarterly report on worldwide deliveries of GA airplanes. GAMA President Pete Bunce is using the report to bolster the industry's case against new user fees proposed by President Obama. Data released from the trade organization shows that in the first 9 months of 2011, shipments dropped 9.8% compared to the same period last year, to a total of 1,227 units. Industry billings fell 10.2% from $13.5 billion to $12.1 billion. Bunce commented, quote, "These shipments and billings numbers show some improvement over the sharper decline experienced in the first half of 2011. However, considering the fragility of the economies in the traditional markets of North America and Europe, this is not the time for new undue government burdens to be imposed on general aviation. Misguided tax policies that single out our industry unquestionably endanger jobs. Policymakers should be focused on initiatives that encourage investment in our industry and grow jobs," unquote. You can find more detail on the numbers by category in the text version of this story, dated November 7th at aero-news.net. ExecuJet's Australasian charter office in Sydney reports that the Rugby World Cup led to a strong demand for charter services from Sydney and Melbourne to cities in New Zealand where the games were being held, and brought the company its biggest revenue month ever. The matches took place during September and October. Travel to New Zealand and accommodation, namely in Auckland, was booked out many months before the event. Many international fans flew into Sydney and Melbourne and then chartered aircraft to New Zealand, returning after the games ended. ExecuJet, with the biggest fleet of wide-body aircraft available for charter in the region, was able to fly many clients to the games. One international company booked a Falcon 900C for the 3 weeks of the event for the dual purpose of attending local offices and flying in and out of New Zealand. Wuhan Helicopter and Eurocopter China have signed an order for two AS-350B3Es and one EC-120B light single-engine helicopters for use in utility missions in Hubei Province, China. About 1,000 AS-350B3s are in service across 57 countries and have logged nearly 2 million flight hours. The AS-350B3E was introduced earlier this year at the Heli Expo in Orlando, equipped with a more powerful engine, FADEC, and an engine data recorder. Wuhan Helicopter will be one of the first operators in China to receive the new enhanced model. The EC-120B is a light aircraft designed for mission flexibility. It can be easily configured for whatever tasks are required. Since 1997, China has produced EC-120 airframe structures in Harbin. They're then sent to France for final assembly. To date, over 680 EC-120Bs have been delivered worldwide and have completed over 1 million flight hours. And finally today, at the time he made the legendary lawn chair flight from Bend, Oregon to a field in Idaho in 2008, most people figured Kent Couch was a little nuts. But now, he's been invited to turn this unusual form of flying into a symbol of freedom in Iraq. Couch was inspired to his first unsuccessful attempt in 2006 by the story of Larry Walters, who unintentionally floated to 16,000 feet over Los Angeles in 1982. For his successful 2008 flight, Couch rigged his chair to be lifted by 150 helium-filled party balloons and took off from the parking lot of his gas station. He's now been invited to fly from Dubai to Baghdad in a two-place rig with daredevil Fareed Lafta, with the idea of inspiring the imaginations of kids gathered for a November 15th youth festival in Baghdad's Green Zone. The Blaze reports, Couch told the Associated Press, quote, "Now that Saddam Hussein is gone and the U.S. is pulling out, it's time Iraq really steps up and begins to dream about putting the country back together. I think between having a U.S. citizen and an Iraqi citizen launched together, where we are saying that we are fulfilling our dream, it will encourage them to dream, knowing the sky is the limit if they just reach out and try," unquote. Couches reportedly shipped 2 lawn chairs, which are unknown in Iraq, 300 balloons, and a framework to hold the chairs, to Dubai, where Lofta currently lives. The 2 will reportedly launch for an overnight flight of 400 miles, reaching as high as 25,000 feet, requiring oxygen use. Unlike his flights in the U.S., Couch won't be using a BB gun to prepare for descent. He's decided that getting that into Iraq on a commercial flight is probably a non-starter. Lofta reportedly told him, quote, "If you need guns, we've got lots of them here," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.